Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Saturday morning, May the 7th, 2011, and I'm going to have my beautiful workshop today here at the Carl Cherry Center in Carmel. If you've never been to the beautiful Carl Cherry Center, you might want to come sometime. They have wonderful exhibits of art and such. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Anyway, we're going to be having our workshop there this morning. We begin at 9:30, and we will go probably to around 3. I am honored to introduce two beautiful new meditations that are Tibetan pulsing meditations. A Deeper Silence, the first one is called, and Bronze, number one, I'm sorry, along with the ambient music that will be offered at this particular workshop. We are being very, very diligent in preparing for our next retreat, which will be at beautiful Mount Madonna up in the mountains in Watsonville. We're very excited about it, very grateful to have this opportunity. And these are the preparatory meditations for this beautiful workshop. And if you would like to be with us sometime for a retreat, we would be honored to have you. Please come to the website at aspire.org. That's www.aspire.org. If you go there, go take a look at events. It will tell you so much more. And go take a look at my workshop in Carmel. And you can also take a look at retreats that is there under events. It will, update you. There's a little meditation video there to show you what meditations we will be doing. I hope you will take the time to take a look at it. Let us go to our questions. I am so honored that people take the time to write me. Now, if you ever want to write me, about any question regarding maybe your spiritual practice, and most people don't because they think they have one when they really don't. Anyway, come to the website again at aspire.org. You'll see media at the top there. Just go over to media, go down to radio programs, and you will see a radio for 2011. You can listen to my past programs that I've done here on KRXA. From the website, and you can email me from there if you like. So please feel free to do so. I'd love to hear from you. First question, what can I do with my fears, says Carol from SoCal. I'm even afraid to meditate. Carol, you are very brave to write and very courageous in your heart to even consider meditation. Most people that are listening to my voice either don't think they need to meditate, like to believe they are, or have to have some kind of guided imagery to keep their mind occupied so they can believe that they're going into other realms of their life, other realms of consciousness, with unicorns and such. And all of this stuff is just not happening. It's not real meditation. And the problem is that we can't really in this culture and society do much meditation because we have been hit so hard with video games and, you know, our iPhones and the apps and our Twitter and our tweeters and all of the things that we do. Our attention span is very, very low. I was reading on the internet the other day that scientists are very concerned about even the Twitter thing, that we can't focus on one thing for very long. And what we do focus on has to be, so to speak, game-oriented or find some sort of gratifying advantage to whatever we're doing. And this just keeps going on and on and on to the point of neurosis and psychosis in us. So, Carol, I don't know how old you are or what your personal habits are with electronic devices. I use them. I have to watch myself. I have to keep my attention where it belongs. Otherwise, I just start drifting off into thinking, well, my own mind, you know, I have this urgent thing to take care of and that urgent thing to take care of. And nine times out of ten, and To be honest with you, when I get a ding on my iPhone, it means that someone needs something or there's a problem. So I have to watch it, too. I'm the same way. You say, what can I do with my fears? All of us have to face them. I know you've heard this from other teachers and people, and it is true. We all have our fears to face. Probably the ultimate one is pain, some kind of deep personal loss and death. And that's what I have seen in my own life. And that's what I see in the lives of many of us that we are so diligently trying to avoid. But you can't avoid it. I can't avoid it. I wish I could make your life Camelot. If I could, I'd just give it to you and let you have it all. And your life would be beautiful, just beautiful the way you want it to be. And I would love to be able to just hand you the keys to that and say, you know, go enjoy yourself. But that is really not the case. Let me tell you why we have difficulty with our fear. We are overly gratified, way over. And every time I gratify myself in some way where I use the gratification to avoid something I'm afraid of, I deepen my experience, my entrenchment, my ensconceness, if I can use that word, and I'm going to, into my own dark side, into trying to avoid. People usually live to avoid. None of us wants to walk around and say, hey, do you know you're going to die? Do you know it's going to be probably pretty painful and expensive and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that? Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody. We want to pretend like death isn't there. We want to pretend like suffering isn't there. Our greatest fear are the things that we don't want to face. And when we gratify ourselves to the point of nauseam, and we have a real hard time with that fine line between enjoying our earthly stuff, our treasures, and there's nothing wrong with that, and being obsessive about them and using them compulsively to try to hide from whatever it is that we are afraid of, it is in this fine line that we have a great deal of difficulty and that we find our greatest fear. And that's really sad. We're not prepared for love. We're not prepared for kindness. We're not prepared for life or death because we live so adamantly in opposition to our own life. We don't live our life. We live the life we think we want to avoid the things we fear. So, Carol, my darling, get involved in your life through love, through meditation, through the practice of working upon yourself. Live beyond the beyond, as it were. Don't be caught up in all of this. Don't let your mind take you off into never, never land, into what I call doo-doo land. Bring yourself into the mercy of the moment. That's what I've found. Life is very merciful and very beautiful when I'm no longer trying to make it what it cannot be. When I'm no longer interested in trying to have a life that I think will comfort my fear of death. I talk to people all day, Carol, in sessions, students and non-students, people trying to understand meditation or trying to incorporate some kind of what they think of as philosophy in their own life. And it just doesn't really work that way. Meditation is not a philosophy. And philosophy doesn't come out of meditation. What comes out of meditation is clarity. So you're afraid to meditate because you're afraid to see things as they are. You're afraid your psyche, your mind, won't be able to handle it and you will become miserable. It isn't going to happen. You'll understand more. You will feel the presence of something quite beautiful in you. There is nothing to fear in any of this. It is all about love. It is all about the intrinsic love that lives within you. Our theme for this year has been the intrinsic, the goodness of nature, that which is natural within you. It is about the sweetness of you. We're going to be working on that today in our workshop. how to bring out that sweetness and how to allow it to permeate everything we are and do through meditation. You have to be willing. Carol, this may not be the lifetime that you are willing of. I don't know you. But this just may not be the lifetime for you. Maybe you need a lot more pain and sorrow and futility to get you to a place where you will listen and watch and be courageous. Courage is a matter of putting spirit forward, putting love ahead of hate. That is what real courage is. And most people lack it. They are not much interested in love. They are only interested in self-righteousness. Take a look at what you're doing within yourself. Put love forward. Forgive. Give. Be compassionate. Do everything you can within you to make love possible. That is really what it's all about. Please forgive me, Carol. Namaste. It is easy to understand, in my mind, why people would be afraid of meditation. I can definitely understand it. It looks so foolish to most people, and so unnecessary. And then there are those who think that it is necessary only because it gets them what they want. We are an interesting lot of people. The next question comes from Sal, and he lives in Salinas, and he listens to our program. Sal, thank you for the honor. He says, my life gets in the way of my spiritual practice. How can I be more motivated to meditate, Sal? Sal, I have found in my own life, with myself and my students, that if you don't make your practice the centerpiece of your life and your, what you might call your periphery living, secondary or even third in your life, then you will never be motivated to meditate. It just doesn't make sense to the mind to meditate. It just doesn't mean anything to the mind to meditate. Your life is getting in the way of your living. And that's the way you have to look at it, that your life, the meaning of your life, is getting in the way of your living. And you want your living to be the way your life is from within you. And that is very beautiful. But don't let things get in the way. Let the idea of your life and what you believe life should be to get in the way of living in the love that you are. If you do, you will miss everything. There is no way to motivate a person to meditate. I can motivate you to do many things. Go out and earn money, get married, love another person, emotionally, that is. It's easier to get you to fight, to hate, and to fear. That is really a drop in the hat. That's no big deal to be able to make people do. But meditation is not a motivation. You can't motivate a person to meditate. It absolutely is impossible. There is no way I can look at you and say, here are the benefits for meditation, and this is what you ought to be doing. There is absolutely no way to do that. What you need to do is not look for the benefits of meditation to be motivated. You have to realize every breath you take is meditation. Everything you do, every gesture you do is a form of meditation. And this form of meditation goes out into the world and either removes you and me from the collective unconscious or brings us closer into that ugly collective unconscious where we live by every fear and hate and every idea and tragedy that the human existence can develop. You say, my life gets in the way of my practice. If you really have a practice, your life, your outer life, cannot disturb you. If your meditation were an authentic meditation, your outer life would not be in the way of anything. You would recognize the manner of your own spirit, the intrinsic goodness of it, the nature of it. You would sit quietly in the center of your being, just as sitting quietly, wanting nothing with all of your heart, and allowing your life to unfold and to become more and more beautiful. That is what it's really all about. The rest is just fol-de-rol, misunderstanding. And if you're going to live your life more consciously, if you're going to live your life in and above your own perception, then you're going to have to get in touch with your heart. My new series, Sal, on the Beatitudes would be a really big thing for you, I think. But then again, who am I? But his teachings, Jesus' teachings on the Mount of blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. The first three powerful teachings that he offered open up many beautiful doors of meditation, personal insight. If you're the kind of person who might feel the blessing of that, if you are truly interested in an authentic practice and not a spiritual whatever it is, philosophy that you use as an addendum to your daily life, it will be there that you find the meaning. When you hear Jesus talk about the Beatitudes, which are really the metamorphosis of life, how we unfold within us, you find his teachings magnificent. They are some of the most sacred offerings the world has ever known. And I would say to you, Sal, that if you understood just the first three Beatitudes of being humble, of learning what it means to mourn what we have done and have a sense of repose in our mourning, in other words, to have not regret but remorse. And then the humility to be teachable to your inner life, to your inner being. Then you have come to something magnificent. Sal, I cannot coerce you to meditate or even to understand the Beatitudes, just to even listen to them as I offer them. You must feel the pull to love. You must feel the pull to God, as it were, as love. Not as a being, not as a super being, but as a presence that lives within you, that is love itself, just pouring itself through you. Come and be with me for a workshop. Do something out of the box. And don't be afraid. It's all about love. Everything we do is about love. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's hard. It's hard for people to meditate. I find it interesting. It's a drop in the bucket to hate. You know, you can get a person from zero to hate in less than a millisecond. But if you want to get them to love, everybody's so skeptical and cynical and cautious about love, meditation, and insight. Isn't it sad that what we need most is what we give ourselves least? And who can talk us out of it? I have never been able to take a person and motivate them to meditation. I don't think it's possible with anybody. A lot of the people that I was with in India, a lot of them don't meditate anymore. And I often wonder why. You know, here's this beautiful thing that we have called, you know, meditation and love, and they don't meditate because they can't find a way to incorporate it into their life. A lot of people have this trouble. I mean, a whole lot. So you're not alone, dear man. You're certainly not alone. Last question comes from James in San Diego. After watching your TV program, which really was interesting, and thank you, James, I find that I am here. Or am I merely an illusion? James from San Diego. Ah, James, you are a very interesting man. I like you a lot. Very few people write me on such a matter, and it is true what you are saying. Are you an illusion? What do you think? Or are you really here? What does it mean to be here? What does here mean? That's an interesting question. Well, here is not there. Here is everything that you and I are. Yes, you are here. You are here in the form of the presence of love. You are here in the form of kindness and compassion. You exist as only love itself, but you and I have forgotten. Why did we forget doesn't matter. I don't want to go into that because it just takes you down the wrong path. And then I'll lose you and I'll never get you back. Maybe right now is the only time I have your attention, which is truly all I want. You say, am I here or am I merely an illusion? You are here projecting this here as an illusion. You are here as the purity of everything that is most intrinsically beautiful about you. That is here. But you are not conscious of it yet. The moment you create the opportunity for there to be consciousness and for you to be conscious, that in moment, that very special moment will awaken you in so many different ways. You will find there are no words for what you are. James, if you want to accelerate this process, which you can, just don't talk to your mind. If you give up speaking thoughts to your mind, even though your mind is heckling you and wanting you to talk to it, if you can give up the heckling and the interest in heckling, and if you can just let your mind do what it does without you answering the call of it through thought and conversation, inner conversation, you will start to find a substance and meaning. We're going up to Mount Madonna in July to have a silent meditation retreat. And this will truly be silence because we will not be talking. There will be no gestalt therapy, nothing. We will be doing just pure energy work, meditation, allowing the intrinsic goodness, the intrinsic love to overwhelm us and fill us with a deep sense of its own beauty. Beauty is the highest truth there is, James. And it is not found through sight. It is not found through thought or word. It is found through compassion and love. And when compassion and love are more important to thee and me than what we can believe in and what we can think, then we are in a position to do many wonderful things with our own living. So, dear man, give up your thinking. Give up what you want and what you believe in, what you think is important. Just give it up. What can be more important than the moment you and I are in this very second? Want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said. Just want nothing. Just sit with yourself quietly. Don't engage in thought. Don't have that conversation. And then when you are done and you can't take it anymore and your mind is hooking you with all sorts of worries and skepticisms and fears and allegations about you and others and your life, then you get up and you just take a quiet walk. Go take a walk down by the beach where you live, or in the mountains, or in the forests, or wherever you go to be quiet. And just watch. You will see. It will come to you. This thing called love will come to you. It's very beautiful. And you will find what Jesus said in his Beatitudes about being pure in heart very true. That the more you are true to your heart, the more you will recognize God as love in all things. Please forgive me. Namaste. James, you are very unique. What a great question, and thank you for watching Aspire. If you have a comment or question, as I said a little earlier, please come to my beautiful new website at aspire.org. We are brand new. Go take a look at media, and if you go there, you'll see 2011 radio programs. You just kind of click on that, and you'll see there. Email Gregory your questions on that page, and feel free to do so. I'd love to hear from you. If you don't want me to use your name, please let me know. That is very, very kind of you. I don't want to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but I like your questions, and the more edgy they are, of course, you know, the more I like them, the more authentic. This series I am offering on the Beatitudes, I find them to be most meaningful to me. I have never quite, when I was a child, let me tell you real quick, when I was a little guy, I was very entrenched in the Beatitudes. I heard them and they rang a bell in me, and I was very fascinated by them, and I took them to my minister and I said, what do these mean? And of course, he probably told me what they meant, but I couldn't get it. Anyway, I get it now, believe me, in no uncertain terms. And I think you'll find my new series, The Beatitudes, extremely meaningful. If you would like a copy of them, you can order them by going to the catalog section on my website at aspire.org. Go take a look at Discourses, and there you will see Beatitudes. And if you click on the little Beatitudes thing, it'll tell you all about it. There's a little voiceover there that will tell you about the Beatitudes, and I did that to kind of share with you the beauty of the moment. Go take a look. I think you'll find it very interesting. I'm out of here. I got to go do my workshop. I will see you tomorrow morning at 9:04 here on this beautiful station, KRXA. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.